This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username here is lrn.fm. Tonight in the studio, it's Ian.
Melanie.
And Mark.
We've been talking about a couple that had their children taken from them because they allegedly could not take good care of them, and they didn't have the money and wherewithal and intelligence to do that. So Child Protective Services came in, took one of the children previously, and then another one right out of the hospital after it was born. And, you know, this led to a discussion, for those of you just tuning in, about, you know, how could the marketplace, if we didn't have a coercive, monopolistic, violent state, and we had a true free marketplace, how would that, you know, market be set up to disincentivize people who shouldn't have children from having children?
Well, by making it cost money, first of all.
Well, right, and because the government welfare programs wouldn't exist in the first place, which incentivizes people who shouldn't have children to have children because they get paychecks for those children. Those incentives wouldn't exist, presumably, in the free market. So certainly the full incentive structure would be very, very different, and that would probably result in fewer unwanted kids. But then again, you know, a lot of kids aren't sort of planned, and they're going to happen anyway. And then, you know, we get into the question of, well...
Okay, well, and that shouldn't be happening with the state of science that we have, because birth control
unwanted
works.
Kids shouldn't be happening?
Yeah, because birth control...
They happen all the time.
But... And it would be a little bit more...
You have to take the birth control for it to work.
Right.
And even if you do take it, it still won't always work.
Yeah, I don't know if I entirely believe that.
You think that all of the failures always have to do with the person's failure?
I think that it's almost always user error. I mean, even the published failure rates are between a half and a tenth of a percent.
Okay. Are we talking about on the pill or what?
On the pill.
Okay.
Well, any hormonal... Pill, rod, insert,
okay.
Whatever.
I agree with you. It is likely the majority user error that that causes the failures.
And especially, like, I don't know, the amount of women who I've had unsolicitedly tell me about their user error just seems to me to indicate, and then for something to work that much and then just kind of randomly, like, that doesn't... I mean, I pretty much just have to... It works. Like, there's no
okay,
way...
Okay, I get you. 99% of the time, it's probably very effective.
Well, it's 99.9 if you can use estrogen, and 99.5 if you can't.
Okay. But every now and then, something's going to slip through. Somebody's going to get pregnant who didn't intend to get pregnant, even if, you know, even in this wonderful free market where everything is going to, you know, work better and people are more responsible for themselves, which I'm not convinced of. But, you know, people are going to get pregnant who don't intend to, and they're going to have the children because, you know, of whatever religious conviction they might have.
Or just an aversion to murder, but, you know, you don't have to be religious to have an aversion to murder.
But see, they're going to have these kids, and then maybe there would be these incentives after the fact of, hey, you don't look like the kind of person who could take care of that kid. How about we just buy it right out from under you and give it to some people who can take care of it, and then we'll go ahead and tie your tubes or, you know, get you a vasectomy after that and make sure that you don't have any more of these in the future. I mean, I can see that the market and some charities would be able to continue to kind of handle this situation.
Well, but, I mean, and so, like, first of all, like, all unplanned children aren't catastrophic. A lot of them are.
Well, that's true.
But they're not, you know, so you can have somebody who has a good job or their husband has a good job, they have a house, they're not completely opposed to having a kid, and they did something stupid and they had a kid when they didn't.
A lot of those people will say that their kids were the best thing that ever happened to them, even though they didn't intend.
And so those people are going to be fine. But in a free market, because right now it's like, if you decide to just, you know, not be too serious about it, skip some days. I've had women tell me they just skipped the whole week. Okay, you can't do that. It don't, like every other medication in the universe, it only works if you
take it.
So,
But what about the situations?
There's not really that much of a threat right now, because right now, if you screw up...
Okay, so what,
the government writes you a check.
What about the situations where somebody does have a kid, despite all the disincentives, they do have a kid, they're not really able to take care of it, or worse, they're abusive towards it, so you find out about it, there's no CPS at that point to go and kidnap the child, so do you think that there would be in the marketplace a professional group of kidnappers whose job it was to go and take children from people who they believed did not deserve to have those kids,
and then were unwilling to accept payment,
and then fight it in court if those parents were like, whoa, that's kidnapping, we're suing you?
No, because in a free market, either that wouldn't happen often enough for that to be a industry unto itself, or it would, which would mean that the society would be grossly screwed up and wouldn't function properly. Now, would people go rescue and or kidnap other people's children on occasion? I'm sure it would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, like, from
which then they could be liable for the kidnapping if some arbitrator decided, well, it looks like these kids are being taken care of. Okay, why'd you steal them? Well, they were being taught something we didn't want them to be taught, or we thought
that. You can't just go take some.
So the only way
you can take somebody's kids morally or even under the NAP, which would
the non-aggression
pretty
principle.
Much a synonym for the market, you have to be acting in defense of the child.
Mm-hmm.
So if something is happening that you just don't like, well, too bad.
And that's one of the difficulties here is you'll often find that people who are in abusive relationships, especially children, they don't know any different than their parents. So
if that's all they've ever experienced,
hey, it's time to go to a new house where things are going to be better. You know, it's got to be pretty friggin' awful in order to get them to leave, you know, right? Like voluntarily.
Well, that's why you'd have to kidnap them in those,
that would be kidnapping,
those cases.
Yeah.
And then the question becomes, well, okay, well, if somebody kidnaps a child who's in a bad situation, and those parents sue the parents who were having their kid kidnapped from them, and they sue the kidnappers. They say, well, we'd like our kids back, and then they go to court.
If the parents are more interested in suing the kidnappers than shooting the kidnappers, that kind of tells me something about the parents right off the bat. Unless you have this, like, big, huge, secured building that's just, you know, impenetrable.
Okay,
and
now we're getting into another interesting aspect I hadn't even considered. Yeah, what if the do-gooder kidnappers here who, you know, believe that children are being abused or starved or whatever in this house, they come in, they try to conduct this kidnapping, they get blasted. Just risk of the job, right? At that point.
Well, I mean, that's a risk you should kind of foresee if you're going around, whether it needs to be done or not, taking other people's kids.
But if they do successfully kidnap these kids and somebody sues, then we're talking about something that would happen outside of a government court because it wouldn't have the state anymore. So how does that work? Would it be, you know, a professional arbitrator who decides these things, a jury of peers? Who would get to sit down and say, okay, let's look at the living situation here. This parent's, you know, they're saying that it was like this. The people who kidnapped said it was like this. You know, how would that work? That seems like it could be a bit of a mess.
I mean, I don't know, and that just seems like a really weird thing to arbitrate. But
well, there's going to be bad parents. There are bad parents, so there's going to be bad parents.
Bad parents isn't really the minimum threshold for taking somebody's kids away, though, because if you're going to act in defense of
someone, what's the threshold?
It has to be.
See, because your opinion about this might be different than other people, right? So each person is going to have their own opinion about when the right time is.
Because everybody's got an opinion on how children should be raised, down to people who don't have them.
So that's what I'm saying. Is this going to be something that a jury takes a look at? Is this going to be a professional judge?
Well, jury is just an absurd concept in the first place.
Okay.
But,
well, this is why I'm asking you as the legally trained person in the room.
Well, legally trained in the free markets are two very different things, but... So you would have to be acting in defense of the child, which means that, among other things, the harm of taking the kid away from its parents would have to be less than the harm that you're defending the child from. Otherwise, you're no longer acting in defense of the child.
Yep, okay.
So you can't just come in and say, like, I don't like you, I'm taking your kid. That's
right.
That's kidnapping.
I don't like your religion, I'm taking your kid.
I mean, you're
not feeding them enough vegetables.
To justify that harm, I mean, I think you pretty much need, like, imminent death or rape. Like, is kind of my standard.
All right, but that's the problem here, in my opinion, is, you know, how would the marketplace develop these standards? I suspect it would differ based on different areas of the country, for instance. So, like, some people might have a more stringent or less stringent standard in certain areas. I'm interested in hearing how you feel. 855-450-FREE, that's our toll-free number. You can join us.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
A great president once said, the 9 most feared words in the English language. I am from the government and I'm here to help. Adequacy of loss absorbing capacity. You call that help? That's the mandate approved by the G20. The banks can steal your money. Well, they can't steal your gold and silver. That you fully control, you can have it delivered into an IRA at a depository under lock and key, where you can hide it where no one can find it, not even your wife.
What?
Sorry, honey. Your CDs, money market accounts, and savings accounts are all at risk. Call GSI Exchange at 800-474-9159. We have 75 years of market experience. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. 800-474-9159. Call now and get a free bank failure survival guide. 800-474-9159.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that, for me, it took several months of taking One World Whey before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us on the radio waves if you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us online. Head on over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have on the site for you. Now, Melanie, we mentioned this earlier. You are a an accountant by trade. You can handle accounting work. You can handle bookkeeping. And you can also do people's taxes for them. In fact, you're basically in the middle of launching your own tax preparation business. Is that what you want to call? What do you call this sort of thing?
Melody's bookkeeping and taxes. I do taxes and bookkeeping work. Bookkeeping is basically, because most people can add the money they get in and yep. subtract their bills, but bookkeeping is basically tax prep for the most part.
And you, as somebody who knows, you know, this world inside and out, you know, the ups and downs and what you should do to avoid paying taxes as much as legally possible.
And because of your law degree that you've got, you're probably a little more prepared for this than the average bookkeeper, perhaps.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they might not know all the kind of constitutional arguments to where maybe the IRS said something, but they will definitely not win, or they know they won't win, so they won't really push it or something like that.
And so you can actually have Melanie work with you on your taxes or accounting and bookkeeping and all of that.
Like she's working with my family.
And you can find her website by going to tax.freetalklive.com. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be interested as tax season rolls around, but why would somebody want to go ahead and get in touch with you sooner rather than later?
So if you have me do your bookkeeping and I'm looking through your books and seeing what's going on, in addition to kind of keeping track of everything, telling you how much money you're making or losing, I can tell you things that you should. So if you come to me in April, I can't tell you buy a piece of equipment in December so that you'll have that write-off because that's already passed.
That's a deadline. Okay.
Yeah, if you're having me do your bookkeeping, I can kind of tell you the things that you should be doing
to prepare
to make sure that you're stolen from as least as less as possible.
Now, gotcha. Is it bookkeeping mostly for people who have businesses?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, is it a value to people who just file taxes?
If they have,
I mean, you're doing it for yourself, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, if they had really complicated assets,
a lot of investments or something like that.
Yeah, like if you had stock or pretty substantial assets or buildings.
Gotcha. But for the average person with a 1040 EZ,
yeah, somebody who just go into work with
I've never had one
W-2.
That's since I was in. A kid.
Gotcha.
Yeah, wouldn't really use bookkeeping if that's all they had going on.
So whether you need help with bookkeeping or just your taxes, personal or business, you can help
yes.
both folks. Get in touch with Melanie, and you might want to do it sooner rather than later. That way you can kind of get on her list before the rush will likely end up happening next year as tax season approaches. So you can reach her through tax.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to her website. That's tax.freetalklive.com.
I never thought we'd use that subdomain.
Yeah, it's a surprise. It is a surprise. Well, you never know what's going to happen. So let's change gears here and get into the Lemonade update. So, well, not really an update, but Lemonade A-hole, I guess. We talked a couple of days ago on the show about this, I think, 3-year-old girl or something
like
that.
Whoever wrote that article is consistent, though.
Well, we're going to get into it here. 3.5-year-old, I believe, is what it was. She had a lemonade stand in West London. It was nearby a fairly large amount of people who were going and coming to and from a concert. So she had a great location. Was quickly picked on by the police. They showed up, threatened her, made them shut down the stand, and issued a $150 fine, or £200 or something like that. It was a fairly large fine. And the little girl, of course, you know, was upset. She was crying about this and believed that she had done something wrong. She was surrounded by 4 police officers in this
particular
case.
Yeah, they sent 4 cops for this.
Right. So she was convinced she'd done something wrong. And, of course, whenever these lemonade crackdown stories come out, and they do from time to time, this was the first one we'd reported on from the UK, but they happen in the United States in various different places. This is not an uncommon story, sadly. But, when you know, normally when we bring this stuff up, we always ask in the hopes that there's some arch statist out there listening who's willing to actually
be consistent.
Take this position of shut these little kids down. We got to put a stop to these unlicensed lemonade stands. Somebody who will actually take that position. Of course, no one ever does, because you would sound like an absolute monster if that's something that you wanted to do. But they found somebody over at the New Statesman. This person is Duncan Hothersall. And Duncan says in the headline here, "You may call me a monster, but I'm glad that little girl's lemonade stall got shut down. Now, this appears to be a serious article.
Yes, it does.
New Statesman, I don't believe, is, you know, this isn't The Onion. This isn't a satire newspaper here. What's wrong, asks Duncan, with hard-working public servants enforcing perfectly sensible regulations? Who could fail to be moved by the widely shared tears of a five-year-old whose innocent lemonade stall was brutally shut down by evil bureaucrats? What sort of monster would not have had their heartstrings tugged by the plaintive, "I've done a bad thing," from a girl whose father tells us that she, quote, "just wanted to put a smile on people's faces," unquote. Well, me, actually, writes Duncan Hothersall.
It's a fun guy, this Duncan.
He says, there are 500,000 cases of food poisoning each year in the UK.
How many of those were stopped by whatever bureaucracy it was that shut this girl down?
Well, none, because the bureaucracy was
right
there.
You know, and I'll bet you most of these food poisoning
were
cases
were licensed.
Well, of the ones that came from restaurants, yeah, sure. But most of them probably just came from private homes of people who didn't keep food well, right?
Didn't wash their hands after they used
Sure,
you know,
whatever
touched the
it
chicken.
Was that they didn't do or did or didn't do, it probably had a lot more to do with soft cheeses than it did with the juice of a citrus fruit mixed with sugar and water, mm-hmm, would be my guess. But, you know, this is tossing out a 500,000 cases of food poisoning is a monstrous, disregard for the truth.
According to the story here, the editorial piece says, one of the reasons we have stringent controls on who can sell food and drink, especially in unsealed containers, is to try to cut those figures down.
That is one of the reasons that they have that. Another one of the reasons is so that these brave bureaucrats can get paychecks, unionized paychecks, the pensions, and all these other things.
And street stalls in general are regulated because we have a system of taxation, rights, and responsibilities in this country which underpins our functioning society. Regulation is a social and economic good, he says.
Well, I am not entirely in disagreement with him that regulation is not a social good. I think that you can probably do
it. No, he says it is a social good.
Yeah, I'm saying that I'm in disagreement that it is not.
Okay.
So I agree that regulation is a social good, by and large.
Really?
However, yeah, I am, sure. Businesses need, somebody standing over and saying, oh, you can't do that. Come on.
Yeah, but there's a difference between the government's regulations,
yes,
and self-imposed certifications and standards. That's
allow
not
me,
the same
allow
thing.
Allow me to expound, if I could.
You can do that in a moment. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Whether you want to comment on regulations, lemonade crackdowns, or whatever's on your mind, you may do it. Our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind here on Free Talk Live. Also, you can join us on Skype. That's Skype username lrn.fm.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Toll free if you want to join us on the radio. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got an article here from an arch statist who really does believe that it was a good thing to have the police crack down on a little girl's lemonade stand recently in London, England, which, of course, has happened in the United States in various different places as well. And this guy is going to bat for the state here. He thinks it was just absolutely fantastic what they did. We'll continue to share his thoughts with you tonight. By the way, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
Don't forget, if you want to help Free Talk Live out and get your shopping done at the same time, go to shop.freetalklive.com. You can enter Amazon through the links you'll find there, and Free Talk Live gets a cut of the purchase price when you do that. So get your shopping started at shop.freetalklive.com. Speaking of the UK, we've got Amazon UK, we've got Amazon Canada, and Amazon US. You just click into the right one for you, and Free Talk Live gets a portion of your purchase at shop.freetalklive.com.
Which is any of them, because I've bought stuff from Amazon UK before.
Yep, that's true. And that means we would get a piece. So, shop.freetalklive.com. The author here says that regulation is a social and economic good. And, Mark, you were explaining why you think that's a true statement.
Yeah, so what regulations do generally is prevent businesses from doing stupid, harmful, irresponsible things.
I don't know if that's true. That's the publicized reason for the regulations. It seems to me that regulations keep people from opening up a business in the first place, from being able to compete and enter the marketplace to offer their service or product at all.
They do lots of that, too.
Yeah, because they're written by a lot of the people who are already in business who want to keep new upstarts and innovators out of the scene.
To be a public good, one must only be good by a small margin. One could be these regulations as they exist, these rules as they exist as regulations, could be better enforced through certification in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. But then they wouldn't be regulations anymore, would they? I mean, don't they pretty much have to be coming down from on high?
Regulations were a public good. And I said
he
that
said
I,
a social and economic good.
Okay. He said that regulations were a social and economic good, and I cannot entirely disagree with his statement, because they are a social good, and they are certainly economic.
They're not, a net good. Even if they have some good effects, which is true of pretty much anything that is that huge, they're by no means a net good, so I don't know if you can call them a good.
I don't know if they, I can't do the math to be able to decide whether they're a net good or not.
If they keep you out of business, they are not a net good. They're hurting people.
Okay, so the aspect that you're talking about, people being a street vendor, right?
Any business, not just street vendors.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
That's the specific example.
Okay, who's being kept out of business? What are we talking about here exactly?
Regulations keep all kinds of people out of business.
They operate mainly as artificial barriers to entry. I mean, that's what a regulation is.
No, yeah. that's more likely licensure. That's going
same
to be
well, no, any regulation.
So a license and a regulation is not the same
thing. You've got to obey the regulations to get the license.
So if I open a restaurant, I have to have a triple sink for reasons that just make no sense whatsoever.
Sure.
Because it's illegal to wash and rinse the dishes in the same sink.
You've got to have a $200,000 vent hood. You've got to have all kinds of stuff.
You just have to have just massive amounts of just completely irrelevant equipment. Most people, or I don't want to say most people, but a lot, most of the places I've been in don't really use the triple. I'm not sure what you're even supposed
have
to
their
do
reasons.
With the second
okay,
sink.
Hold
but,
on. Okay.
It's some kind of sanitary thing.
All the anarchists take a deep breath and just relax for a second, okay? So now to be able to say that restaurants need a certain level of, equipment and capital in order to operate probably results in fewer people having bad experiences and terrible experiences at restaurants. Some people are going to quantify that as a net good. Some people are going to say these keeps people poor.
I don't believe that allegation, because then a huge mega corporation like McDonald's can violate regulations 364 days out of the year and kind of sort of act right when the guy comes in and he's like, you missed these three things, don't miss them again. And he's going to come in next year and say the same thing. Like,
now you're talking
and
about
then they just pay the fine because they can afford to. Well, that's all a regulation. Well, that's the enforcement
of the regulations will keep someone out of business from getting into business, but also be so lax as to allow those who are in business to stay in business.
So we all agree that certifications from a private market would be far more efficient than the state handling
this. Yes, but you should not call them regulations.
I said, well, did I say regulations?
You made it sound as though you believed that certification in the free market is tantamount to regulation.
Okay, so you,
it's not.
You're parsing terms as tightly as you can parse terms here.
Yeah.
All right? Regulations are a set of rules enforced by the state.
Generally?
A set of rules enforced by a private market licensing agency, certification agency, would in many cases look very, very, very similar to regulations.
Except you would be able to start your own business without having to do that if
sure.
you wanted to.
And people would be responsible for sort of looking, you know, whatever business they employed, whether it was a restaurant or a, company, a guy digging with a backhoe in their backyard or whatever it was, they'd be able to look for certifications. Some of those certifications would be fraudulent, but some of them are today. That fraudulent aspect would go to arbitration, whatever. But I am in agreement with you that this would be far more efficient. That certification in the private market would be
so
far
then
more
you would
efficient.
Agree that
would you agree with me that some regulations prevent some malfeasance in the marketplace?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, well, that's because you're an a-hole. I mean, come on.
No, I
be
think
serious.
Regulators are a-holes.
I mean,
a-holes.
The only regulations I can see possibly accomplishing that are regulations on, like, surgeons and maybe bridge engineers and stuff like that. I mean, restaurants, no. I mean, most
but
people
insurers
can manage
would
the
want
food
the
and not die.
But, right, insurers would want the bridge engineer to know their stuff, right? They're not going to back construction projects or whatever that are not certified as far as this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, right. I will say that there are some regulations that are less insane than others. So it's kind of less insane to
There are some regulations that would probably exist as certifications, if that's what you're asking, Mark, but they are not, in as a whole, a social and economic good. They do damage to the economy.
A quantification. I'm saying that some of these rules do benefits to the economy. You're just quantifying it differently.
But the entirety of regulation is... he says regulation is a social and economic good.
Can we read the rest of the article?
Maybe at some point.
For Christ's sake!
No. At some point we can, but what he's saying is that as a whole, he believes that regulation is a social and economic good. You may be able to get this guy to agree that some of the regulations are bad, but it sounds like you're saying that overall regulation's a good idea, and it's not. It hurts the economy, and therefore that is a social evil.
Okay, certifications, every one of these rules that would be inside of a certification would also hurt the economy, okay? If you were able to...
No, because it wouldn't prevent people from starting their own business. You could open up a hair salon in your own home without regulation. You can open up a restaurant in your own home without regulation, and you
that's
can serve people.
That's not a regulation. That's a zoning rule.
All right, now you're just getting ridiculous.
Yes. Well, but so are you. I mean, you're
no,
parsing
I'm
terms.
The one taking
what
the libertarian position
here. What we do
here
on Free Talk Live is we parse terms.
No,
Ian.
We take libertarian positions, and you're the one back in the state.
No,
I'm not.
You gotta
be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, that's all you've ever got. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for disagreeing with me on some minutia.
No, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for backing regulation.
Private market certification boards, they might certify restaurants and have restaurants up to a certain standard, but then somebody could go and bake cakes in their house and sell them without the certification.
Can.
No.
People,
not legally.
Yes,
not legally.
Not legally. By God, I've bought cakes that people made in their
New
houses.
New Hampshire's different, dude. You might be able to get away with it here, but if you start selling cakes out of your house, at some point, some cake maker is going to catch wind of it. They're going to report you to the regulatory board, and some health bureaucrat's going to come down there and demand to see your kitchen and make sure you've got the vent hood and make sure you've got the exhaust system and make sure you got what you want.
And even
have,
if you have
so
it, won't matter because you've never had your initial inspection.
Right.
So it's illegal.
You're getting
anyway.
Shut down. There goes your cake operation. There goes your dream of making cakes for people
if
because you didn't ask permission.
If you're selling your cake as organic and your cake isn't organic, are you doing a public good? Because I can assure you, in the
that's
absence
fraud.
Of
that's a completely different
it
story.
Is organic,
regulation helps to prevent fraud.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't at all.
Regulation is codified rules.
It's market competition that helps prevent fraud and open certification. More coming up here in moments. 855-450 free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Dash is digital cash, a digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash and help us build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, you can dial toll free, bring up what you want, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Melanie,
and Mark.
And we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts, but we've been talking about government regulation. Mark is actually taking the surprising position here that he believes that regulation is a social and economic good. He agrees with this arch statist who is talking about cracking down on lemonade stands, and that has kind of devolved into a discussion that's sort of taken over the original thrust of this article. We'll get back into it coming up here. Also, do want to let you know about freetalklive.com, where you can get signed up for our email list right there on the front page of the site. If you want to be kept up to date with what's happening with Free Talk Live, the latest information from us, you know, announcements, that kind of thing. We do a weekly newsletter. You can see them on our website, so if you want to get some idea from as far as what they normally contain, you can go to click the FTL blog on our site.
Or you can just live dangerously and enter your email address, and you'll get some. And if you don't like them, you can, oh, my God,
unsubscribe. Sure.
Yeah, it'd be terrible for you.
You can get once an email or once a week emails. Just put your email into the box on the front page over at freetalklive.com. As we go to Sarah, she's in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
So did you mention that most people want to rent a car? I hear that that's a popular way of being. Instead of owning cars, having to maintain the cars and rotating the tires. So do you think that industry is really going to pick up? I mean, there's a demand for that.
You're talking about the Zipcar, I think, is what's one of the brands is, where they're basically cars that are utilized at as many hours of the day as possible. So let's say you take one of these things to work, you park it outside of work, but then you're going to be there for 8 hours. So somebody else is working in the same area. They need to go to the pizza place and pick up some food, so they take the Zipcar down there, and some company, in this case Zipcar, is the one that's maintaining and taking care of the car. I'm not exactly sure how all the ins and outs of that work, but it is something that does seem to exist in larger cities.
you know, that would be, like, really wonderful. But, I mean, will it be profitable for the businesses? That's the bottom line. Kind of.
Well,
like,
you're right about that. I mean, that's nice that you acknowledge that you know, profits are important for businesses to exist. Yeah, I mean, they're still in business, so that's maybe an indicator that it's working. Of course, a lot of businesses that are brand-new startups get a lot of investment money, and then they run dry, you know, later on down the line. So, like, Twitter, for instance, is supposedly way in the red, but yet they're still there. So maybe the fact that they're there is an example that it's working, or maybe they're just still running on borrowed time. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I mean, well, Sarah, you don't drive, so I guess this really isn't a question you can answer. So what about the hosts, Melanie, Mark? I mean, we don't have this thing here in, you know, Keene, New Hampshire, but if you were living in a bigger city, you know, having a car can be very difficult in those places sometimes.
The moment they can make it more cost effective for me to you know, rent a car than it is to own a car, which it's pretty cost effective. Currently, to own a car. I've got a 1997 Ford Exploder. The thing's cost $1,000. I quantify it out to about $100 per for the vehicle per month. So it's good for 10 months, right? If I drop any money into it for maintenance or whatever, then that's going to push its life out, as far as I'm concerned. You know, then you're looking at insurance, which isn't that much for me. I'm a 47-year-old guy who hasn't been in too many accidents.
Well, mine's only like $20 a month. It's not that bad in New Hampshire.
Insurance is cheap. Licensure is pretty cheap for a vehicle like that. I think it was, you know, like under $100 to license and register that vehicle. You know, it's not terribly expensive. You're talking about... you know, I don't know. It's not going to be – how many trips are they going to be able to make? If it costs me $150 per month to run my vehicle and it costs me $15 a trip to rent one, then I only get 10 rentals per month. Now, if I'm in a city where I can take public transportation to work and maybe the rental just gets me to, I don't know, a special event I want to go to or someplace across town that I need to go to or whatever it might be, then okay. But I don't know that they're going to be able to make it cost effective for me, and that means that they're dealing with a different audience that I don't entirely understand. So
yeah, I mean, this really only seems feasible in larger cities where you can pretty much walk everywhere and you're not driving on a daily basis anyway. I also just don't kind of trust people enough to do something like that. I have a car. I own it. I know it's there when I need it. I don't trust there to just kind of magically be a car on the side of the road when I walk outside and have to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be stressed out all the time worrying about I'm relying on someone else and I need to be at this place at a certain time. Like, no.
Sure.
Not happening. No.
Chicago manages to do it with bicycles. So, there's
you know
that.
And they're not the only thing.
I'm not driving from Manchester to Keene on a bicycle.
Yeah. Nope.
You know, the problem is that the car ownership, one thing about that is that you have to be like a very diligent person to be doing all the oil changes and the...
Okay, like, it takes like 15 minutes to get your oil changed.
They put a sticker up in your windshield.
They're open from like 9 to 9, like, no.
She's right, though. I mean, there's plenty of car owners who are not particularly responsible with how they take care of their car. I mean, I think that this idea is a good... idea. Whether or not it will end up panning out for the Zipcar company, a quick Google, you know, I could not find recent numbers for Zipcar, but again, I haven't looked for more than, you know, a few seconds. There was an article in 2010 that said they hadn't been profitable several years in a row, but that was, you know, more than half a decade ago at this point, and they're still around. I mean, this does seem to be something that if they have the enough vehicles in their fleet and you're living in a urban area where, you know, you're relatively packed in with a large number of people, you probably are fairly close to one of these cars, and it sounds like from their website that you would have some some concept of where the car is, because they probably have GPS coordinates for all of them. So you would know if there was one that was parked nearby you. I guess the question would be, I think you have to like reserve it for a certain period of time in advance. So you would know that I have to be at work at 9 a.m., therefore I need to get into this Zipcar or whatever at 8 a.m. and then drive to work. And so you would have that time reserved. So it would not be there, I guess, is the idea, Melanie, that if you had reserved
it. Well, if I trust them, And if the guy who brings it back is supposed to be, like, how, so if somebody drives it somewhere else before then, they're going to come bring it back? Like, that doesn't seem feasible to me.
Yeah,
and then I'm still having to essentially, like, buy a car every day or twice a day because you have to drive to work and drive back, right? So,
well, you're renting it.
Yeah, but I have to go and, like, make sure I have a car at least twice a day. I'm not doing that.
No, that is completely ridiculous. For people who are independent-minded, the car, the individual car, is something that we desire. We want to be able to just pick up and go whenever we want to go. But we're also not living in big cities where there are always other alternatives, right? So if in a big city, you can always just hop on the subway or, you know, get into a cab. Or there's always these other options that are fairly ubiquitous for transportation in a big city, whereas we live in a small town, basically. It's called a city, but there's only 23,000 people that live in it. They have a city bus, but it's, you know, probably not there when you need it. I don't know what the schedule looks like, but there aren't too many of those things around.
It's also
here.
Rolling around empty most of the time.
Yeah. There are taxis, but you have to call for them, and, you know, and I guess Uber just started here.
Yeah, I don't trust them to show up either. I just don't trust people. Yeah. Like, if a product design is going to require me to trust other people, it's just not a product I'm going to utilize.
Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. You're welcome to share your thoughts with us here. I am interested in seeing a little bit more about this. Headline here from Market Realist in 2015, Avis Budget Group's Zipcar is a going concern. Hedge fund Viking Global started a position in Avis Budget Group. It owns a 5% stake in Avis. They said they will learn how the company's acquisition of Zipcar is creating synergies, and then it goes on. So they're saying there's opportunity here. But, you know, I'm not sure what kind of money that they're bringing in. It would take a lot more research than we have time to do to really figure this out.
Yeah, this is not an advice to invest in a Zipcar.
No,
we're not.
They're not a sponsor of the show. I've never sat in a Zipcar before. I don't know anything about it. But I think that, you know, more options is a good thing for
people.
It
seems like an efficient use of a motor vehicle, right?
Well, right. The idea is it's not sitting just still all day.
Right. And
well, right,
but
if it's being utilized all day, every day, because if it's not, then what you have is an extra car sitting on the side of the road.
That's
so it's
true.
Not necessarily more efficient even from that standpoint.
All right. Out of time
That's
for tonight.
That's just an issue of pricing.
We'll have to talk about the lemonade stand status another time. But you can join us online between now and tomorrow night's show over at freetalklive.com. And don't forget Melanie and her website, tax.freetalklive.com, if you need some tax and accounting and bookkeeping assistance. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have you ever thought about mining Bitcoin? Do the costs, constant equipment upgrades, and maintenance scare you off? Do you want to make Bitcoin every day in the same mining pool that Ian and I do? Pool.bitcoin.com. There's a 100% uptime guarantee. The website's easy to use, and you can calculate what you're going to make right there on the website at pool.bitcoin.com. Help steer Bitcoin towards the liberating currency that Satoshi Nakamoto meant it to be. I'm not just making money at pool.bitcoin.com. I'm doing activism while I sleep. Pool.bitcoin.com. What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the states. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberry's Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to Superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.